chapter 2 last 18 decades analyzed Indiana so far as positive influences are concerned, scientific astrology need consider only these four: 1. The 12 signs and their decade subdivisions. 2. The 10 planets. 3. The 12 houses. 4. The 10 aspects. Each sign, each house, and each planet, however, rule several different things, so that while positive science points to alternative things within well-defined limits, there are commonly several such alternatives to choose from within the boundary of the limits defined by scientific astrology. The conditioning of the individual and the environment within which he functions, as well as each progressed aspect, which at the time is adding energy to his thought cells, and such effort, if any, which he makes based on knowledge of astrology, to control events and conditions, all have an influence in determining which of the alternate things is the most probable one. Physical data of precision and scope often are not at hand to make a correct appraisal of the specific condition or event indicated, and if such details are correctly to be given extra sensory perception must be employed. The unconscious mind of every individual, because of the properties of the inner plane, on which it constantly functions, is able to perceive things, even things in the future, as ESP experiments in our universities now prove, that are quite undiscernible to everyday consciousness. The difficulty in utilizing information thus gained is not so much that the unconscious mind is unable to arrive at correct conclusions from such inner plane observations, as that more frequently it is unable to mobilize the electromagnetic energy to impart its correct conclusions to everyday consciousness. To impart them to ordinary consciousness, the law of association must be brought into play, connecting images already in everyday consciousness with those discerned by the unconscious mind, or soul. And the most effective of all images thus, to form the necessary link between the two phases of consciousness, are universal symbols. Aware of this principle, which only recently has become recognized by modern psychologists, the ancient wise men, to whom we are indebted for so much of our astrological knowledge, devised universal symbols, which would operate through the law of association, to give extrasensory perception the best possible images with which to work in connection with each sign and decade of the zodiac. These images, or symbolical pictographs, became the constellations. Present-day maps show many more than 48 constellations, because with the study of modern astronomy, kings and notables desired something placed in the heavens to remember them by. But the old Greek celestial sphere, obtained by them from Chaldea, shows only 48 constellations, one picturing each of the 12 signs and each of the 36 decanates of the zodiac. The origin of these constellations is set forth in considerable detail in lesson number 71. The constellations picturing the signs were placed in the sky in a sequence of longitude that would reveal to which sign each is related. That is, while the constellation Cancer only occupies about 15 degrees, and the constellation Virgo occupies about 50 degrees, there should be no mistake that the crab pictured the sign Cancer, because it was the fourth zodiacal constellation and Cancer was the fourth sign, nor that the Virgin pictured the sign Virgo, because it was the sixth zodiacal constellation, and Virgo was the sixth sign. These signs were subdivided, both by ancients and moderns, into 10-degree divisions called decanates. There are 3 decanates, or 10-degree sections, to each sign, each presided over by its own planet, each exerting its own particular influence, and each pictured as to its attributes by one of the 36 ultra-zodiacal constellations. and in determining the relation between the 10-degree sections of the zodiac and the constellations picturing their significance, the ancient masters followed the same general system they had employed with the zodiacal constellations. That is, commencing with the first of Aries both among the decanates and the constellations, they placed the first of the outline of the constellation so it would have the same sequence in longitude that the decanate it pictured had. Following this plan, the seventh constellation in longitude, either north or south of the zodiac, pictured the seventh zodiacal decanate, the 18th constellation in longitude, either north or south of the zodiac, pictured the 18th zodiacal decanate, etc. About the 48 constellations, a full page picture of each is given with its sign and decanate rulership in course 7, each picturing one of the zodiacal signs or one of the zodiacal decanates. The ancients wove allegorical stories, which imparted a spiritual teaching. The whole of these teachings, and the 48 texts derived from them, are embraced in spiritual astrology. Spiritual astrology explains in the language of symbolical pictograph that the universe is an organic whole permeated with the consciousness of God, and is not, as the materialists would have us believe, just an aimless collection of material particles obeying blind physical laws. It explains that this organic whole, in response to the mental design of God, is marching endlessly toward greater perfection. And it further explains that the soul of man, both on earth and in the hereafter, is not just a robot, but is called upon to employ initiative, and intelligently to assist in carrying forward the work necessary to the realization of God's great plan. The nature of this great evolutionary plan is clearly revealed by a study of God's Word, which in the language of symbolical pictograph has been traced among the stars as the constellations. And this great evolutionary plan thus revealed calls for each individual to develop and use the natural aptitudes, which are shown by his planetary chart of birth. The natural aptitudes, which are strongest, are those which directed into proper channels will enable the individual to be of greatest use to society. To give the individual guidance in his effort to cooperate in God's great evolutionary plan, the allegorical stories set forth in Course 7 woven about each of the constellations were not confined to revealing a spiritual teaching applicable to mankind as a whole. They were designed also for the purpose of conveying special information relative to each sign or decanate pictured, whenever it was an outstanding influence in the birth chart. This special information relates both to the material and the spiritual endeavors. Therefore, to those astrologers who desire to give richer detail and finer precision to their work than can be had by positive science alone, although each decanate, as set forth in this and the preceding lesson, and revealed by its keyword, does have a positive significance also, the constellation picturing the decanate in which the planetary influence needing interpretation is found in the birth chart, and the allegorical stories concerning it handed down from antiquity, afford the best possible means of aiding the extrasensory perception to give details otherwise unobtainable. The constellations picturing the signs occupied by the Sun, Moon, Ascendant and Mercury are quite significant in this respect. And in the analysis of what may be expected from each of the 12 departments of life in connection with the aspects received by the USC, MC and 10 planets, the constellation picturing the decanate occupied by each of these will yield a wealth of detail that gives finish and precision to astrological work. The pictures used to portray the significance of the decanates were derived in the same manner as those used to picture the signs. That is, to picture the tendencies and possibilities of the sign Aries, the masters of old selected a ram to be placed among the stars, and to picture the tendencies and possibilities of the sign Taurus, they found in the bull the qualities they sought. In this and the preceding lesson, While the constellation picturing each decanate is indicated, no attempt is made to appeal to extrasensory perception. The approach here is that of cold and positive science based on ample research, and that the outstanding attribute of each decanate may be the more readily remembered, it is expressed as a single keyword. The four outstanding decanates of every birth chart next, to locating the dominant planet, the most important single factor to be considered in determining the individual's natural bias is the decanate in which the Sun is found at birth. It is so important because it maps the section of the astral body where those most deep-seated of all experiences, those relating to the desire for significance, called the power urges, are organized into a dynamic stellar structure. Analytical psychology proves that these power urges, which included the mental factors that go to make up a person's pride, firmness, approbativeness and self-esteem, are the most strongly fortified and persistent of all the energies within the soul. The qualities mapped by the Sun in the birth chart being the most persistent and deep-seated, we are quite justified in saying that it represents the individuality. And as the decanate occupied by the Sun is the region of contact between the ego and the soul, it is quite correct to say that the individuality is polarized in a certain decanate. But there are other, and less deep-seated mental factors within the astral body of man, that have been organized by the experiences of the soul, since the commencement of its cyclic journey, that give him the capacity to grasp information of a certain order more readily than that of another. These fluctuating factors, that indicate the type of experience most easily received and assimilated by the unconscious mind, and that thus determine the general quality of the mental processes, are shown in the birth chart by the decanate occupied by the Moon. Therefore, while every planet and aspect in the chart represents definite mental factors and relations, we are correct in saying that the mentality is polarized in the decanate occupied by the Moon. And whatever lies inherent in the individuality, or is grasped by the mentality, if it is to be externalized, must be transmitted into action through the physical body. This also has its trend, or polarity. It is given by the decanate upon the ascendant. So we are justified in saying that the personality is polarized, or represented, by the ascendant decanate. Furthermore, the method by which the thoughts most readily are expressed has considerable significance. This is not the same thing as mentality. It is mapped in the birth chart by the planet Mercury. We are justified, therefore, in saying that the expression is polarized in the decanate occupied by Mercury. The sign and decanate occupied by any planet, either in the birth chart or by progression, will afford valuable indications to the alert astrologer, but most important is the individuality, shown by the Sun decanate in the birth chart. Next is the mentality, shown by the Moon decanate in the birth chart. Following this comes the personality, as indicated by the ascendant decanate, and then the expression, as indicated by the Mercury decanate. These four should always receive attention. But in applying these, it should never be forgotten that while in some instances the constellation pictures the condition that bars the way, and in others pictures the thing to be obtained, that inherently no one decanate is more fortunate, more noble, nor more powerful than any other decanate. The picture forms a guide to endeavor, such as is most needed, but those under each have an equal opportunity to scale either material or spiritual heights. In reference to this matter of alleged good and bad signs and decanates, I wish I might impress it indelibly upon the mind of every inexperienced astrological student, that every degree and decanate in the zodiac offers equal opportunity for nobility and greatness. The greatness that more easily may be attained by a person born in one decanate, however, is not the kind of greatness that may be grasped readily by one born in another. That is as it should be, for the world, like the universe, is a very complex organism. And to be complete, society must have statesmen, poets, artists, musicians, writers, engineers, architects, healers, naturalists, astronomers, mathematicians, leaders, and a variety of other persons, each skilled along certain lines. Therefore, the successful man, both from the standpoint of the individual and that of society, is one who performs some needed work exceptionally well, and if he performs it better than other men, he may become famous. The greatest author the world has ever produced, William Shakespeare, made a poor family man, and was a failure as a provider. The greatest musician of all time, Beethoven, was quite helpless through his ignorance, when brought face to face with worldly matters. And the greatest mathematician ever known, Isaac Newton, who discovered a yardstick with which to measure the universe, in other matters had the mind of an innocent child. Had any one of these men, each the greatest in his own line, been forced continuously into other lines of effort, the world would have profited nothing by his genius. Furthermore, every person is fitted by natural tendency to be educated to fill some useful and needed place in the social scheme. And it is one of the important functions of astrology to point out the particular line of effort and the special kind of training that will make each person more useful to himself and to society. When he finds and fills his proper function in the universal plan, he has then also found his greatest happiness. Libra-1st Decanate. The first decanate of Libra is pictured among the constellations by Serpens the Serpent. This is the snake that sacred tradition asserts tempted Eve to her downfall. The serpent has been used from ancient times, however, not only as a symbol of creative energy, but also of cunning. In worldly matters, those native to this decanate have no need of the admonition to be wise as serpents, for they have the innate ability to handle people and situations. It will be remembered that the biblical serpent told Eve that if she would eat of the apple she would become wise, and that subsequent events verified the prophecy. And those born under this decanate well uphold all the serpent traditions of wisdom and subtlety, and besides possess the creative energy to pioneer in the realms of human association. Such people should never seek seclusion to be at their best, but should mix in the world's affairs and come in contact continuously with their fellow men. In this field they can wield an enormous power for good through their ability to influence the thoughts and actions of others. But they should take pains not to become too engrossed in purely material aims. Georges Clemenceau, the Tiger Prime Minister of France, was born with a son in this part of the sky. William Ewart Gladstone, the great statesman, had the moon in this place at his birth. And Emperor Franz Joseph of Austria, who triumphed over so many difficult situations, was born with his ascendant here. It is the decanate of policy. Libra-2nd decanate. The Aquarius decanate of Libra differs somewhat from the other decanates of this sign in a strong tendency to express individuality. Being under the sub-influence of Uranus, it partakes of the Uranian quality of originality and sometimes even eccentricity. It is pictured among the constellations by Draco the dragon, which winds its length in sinuous coils about the heavenly pole. And even as this is the dragon of worldliness that Saint George was called upon to conquer, so, very frequently, those born under this decanate find in the world some opposition to their views, which they feel it incumbent upon themselves to slay. They are natural exponents of liberty in thought and action, and rebel against restrictions. They find the best opportunity to express themselves as enthusiastic members or leaders of progressive movements. And in fighting the tendency toward crystallized conservatism, they reach their highest level. S. J. Paul Kruger, Boer president, who struggled valiantly for the liberty of his people, had his individuality in this decanate. Magi Zahril, largely responsible for founding the National Astrological Society, and for 25 years editor of its official organ, Prophecy, was born with his mentality polarized in this place. And W. H. Cheney, author of Primer of Astrology, who fought energetically in defense of astro science, was born with this part of the heavens on the ascendant. It is the decanate of independence. Libra-3rd decanate. The last decanate of Libra is not less given to contact with people than the other two. Neither is the mind less keen. In fact, it is often superior, especially where literature and art are concerned. But as it is the decanate in the sign of partnership and open enemies next to the sign of death, Scorpio, there is sometimes a peculiar fatality associated with it. This fact is pictured in the sky by the constellation Lupus the Wolf. This original of the wolf in sheep's clothing is represented as impaled on the spear of Centaurus. And as designed, it indicates the almost certain fate of those born under this portion of the sky, who transgress either the laws of man or those of God. Due to the brilliancy of their minds, they sometimes use their talents to ensalve their fellow men, and keep him in ignorance and poverty, that they may profit thereby. But when they live straightforward moral lives, and do not fall into corruption, they rise to positions of power and usefulness, and no tragedy overtakes them. Samuel Taylor Coleridge, the poet, who became a victim of opiates, was born with his son here. Marie Antoinette, who was accused of extravagance and profligacy, and so was beheaded, was born when the moon was in this section of the sky. And Henry IV, King of France, who led a stormy life and was finally assassinated, had this decanate on his ascendant. It is the decanate of expiation. Scorpio 1st decanate. Ophiuchus the man, who wrestles with the serpent, is the constellation, picturing in the sky the sex decanate of the sex sign, Scorpio. He typifies the struggle of man with his animal desires. And even as in the biblical story of Jacob wrestling with the angel, which is but one version of this starry struggle, he, who is victorious, is always greatly blessed. So we find people born under this decanate with the strongest sex impulses. There is an excess of creative energy, which goads them to desire and action. They thus have an abundant vital magnetism, which they impart to others, giving a natural ability to heal. It also stimulates the mind to creative imagination. Therefore, when they turn from sensualism and direct their forces to constructive work, they have a wonderful fertility of ideas and are capable of leading the strenuous life at its maximum. Not through suppression can they overcome the serpent, but through the guidance of the surplus energy into proper channels. The sun was in this portion of the zodiac at the birth of the versatile and resourceful Theodore Roosevelt, who became President of the United States. Henry Steele Olcott, President founder of the Theosophical Society, and a man of refined creative genius, was born with his mentality here. And the most resourceful and prolific inventor of all times, Thomas A. Edison, was born with this part of the heavens on his ascendant. It is the decanate of resourcefulness. Scorpio 2nd decanate. Era the altar dash rising from which is seen the smoke of burnt offerings, pictures in the heavens the Pisces decanate of Scorpio. Here we find the self-centeredness and aggression of Mars, the ruler of Scorpio, somewhat modified by the restrictions of Pisces. All the desire for expression is present, but usually there comes a time in the life when mere personal gratification must be sacrificed on the altar of devotion to the sense of duty. Those born here are usually strong characters, either in good or in evil. They have vivid passions and abundant animal force. Then comes the time when they are called upon, even as were Cain and Abel, to sacrifice the animal part of themselves. Some, like Cain, refuse to do this and endeavor to buy favor from the law with the fruits of the earth. But others, rising to the occasion, attain to truly spiritual heights. Those born here find themselves called upon to fill positions of importance if they do not shirk. And the successful completion of one duty ever leads unto advancement. But the animal needs to be guarded well. King Edward VII, who dutifully carried the weight of Great Britain's rulership, was born with his individuality in this decanate. John Hayden, who wrote The Temple of Wisdom, and felt it his duty to promote the cause of astrology, was born with his mentality here. And William Howard Taft, the man whose duty led him to the highest office in both the executive and judiciary branches of the U.S. government, was born with Heinein's personality polarized to this section of the sky. It is the decanate of responsibility. Scorpio third decanate. Unlike the crown of spikes that pictures the last of Virgo, Corona Australis, the southern crown is the laurel crown of victory. Picturing among the constellations the Cancer decanate of Scorpio, it reveals the potency of sex, when sublimated, to carry the soul to the loftiest summit of physical and mental achievement. Adjacent to the religious sign Sagittarius, and under the sub-influences of the sign of domestic life, Cancer, those born here have intense emotions and vivid ideas. When the spirit of chivalry is developed, and they sense their value to country and home, they are capable of lofty effort. But for their greatest success, it seems essential that they have some person of the opposite sex to stimulate their ambitions and ideals, and for whom they strive to make a success of life. Social life, therefore, is always an important factor contributing to or detracting from their usefulness to society. Franz Hartmann, who wrote Life of Paracelsus, Magic White and Black, and achieved other success along occult lines, was born with the sun in this decanate. Thomas More, whose social grace and patriotism were second only to his achievements as a poet, had his mentality here. And the chivalrous Benjamin Disraeli, who became Prime Minister of England, was born with this part of the zodiac on his ascendant. It is the decanate of attainment. Sagittarius first decanate. The harp of seven strings lyre, such a harp as David played upon to soothe the spirit of King Saul, pictures the Jupiter decanate of Sagittarius. The constellated instrument portrays the soul, which places itself in tune with the infinite, and becomes responsive to the thoughts radiated by the cosmic mind. Those born under this influence, when true to themselves, are the most religious of all and are capable of attaining cosmic consciousness. But their religion need not be tinctured with all orthodoxy, and is often most expressed through their kinship with nature and their love and sympathy for all living creatures. They live at their best, and accomplish most, when they constantly feel the abiding presence of the cosmic intelligence, and place implicit trust in its guidance. They then feel impressed to fill a definite mission, and if they follow the dictates of the inner voice, they seldom err in judgment. But either in matters of spiritual progress or in mere worldly affairs, they must rely upon their own judgment, for when they take the advice of others, they most signally fail. William Blake, poet and painter, author of books of prophecy and designer of illustrations to the Book of Job, was born with his individuality here. Dr. Alfred Russel Wallace, whose research led him independently to the theory of evolution so ably expounded by Darwin, and who was famous as a naturalist, and who embraced the cause of spiritualism in spite of the ridicule of his contemporary scientists, was born with his mentality in this decanate. And Abraham Lincoln, man of destiny, deeply religious and the instrument through whom human slavery was abolished in America, was born with his personality under this section of the sky. It is the decanate of devotion. Sagittarius 2nd decanate. The eagle-aquila symbol of transmuted sex, and the power of the higher mind to make lofty flights through the rare atmosphere of the spiritual world, pictures among the constellations the Aries decanate of Sagittarius. The migratory instincts of Sagittarius are given a trend toward pioneering. Consequently, we find people born here to be unusually successful in searching out new fields of endeavor, physical, mental, and spiritual. They are usually restless. Their minds are constantly alert for new facts. And in order that they shall not become discontented, it is very essential that they have at all times some definite work to accomplish, and that this work is of a nature to be well worth their best efforts. Confinement and restrictions are most depressing to these people, and if forced to be idle, or to follow some uncongenial occupation, they become rebellious and hypercritical. They require some task of importance to call out their wonderful executive ability. Alfred D. Musset, whose searching mind grasped the merits of both the classic and the romantic schools, and welded them into a system of his own, becoming famous as a poet, playwright, and novelist, was born when the sun was here. Alice Leplongeon, author, and co-worker with her husband in his explorations among the ruins of Yucatan, was born with her mentality under this decanate. And Dr. Sven Hedin, the great geographical explorer, had this section of the zodiac on his ascendant. It is the decanate of exploration. Sagittarius 3rd decanate. The 3rd decanate of Sagittarius, the Leo decanate, is pictured among the constellations by Sagitta the arrow. This is the arrow that Mithra shot against a rock and a stream of water immediately gushed forth. It symbolized the soul piercing the illusions of matter, and through this comprehension of the meaning of incarnate existence being able to quench its thirst at the fountain of divine consciousness. Those born under this decanate may either tread the path of pleasure, or climb the royal road to spiritual supremacy. Being the kingly section of the sign of the higher mind, when the sporting proclivities relating to the fifth sign's influence are transmuted, they have not only the ability to perceive things in their proper relation, but also to synthesize their observations and impart this knowledge to others. They, therefore, reach their greatest usefulness as teachers and leaders of philosophical and religious thought. And when faithful to their ideals and persistent in adhering to their own conceptions, they reach the highest states of consciousness possible to embodied man. C.C. Zane, pen name of Albert Benjamin Dash, author of All 210 Brotherhood of Light Lessons, author of over 1,000 magazine articles on astrology or occultism, and one of the three founders of the Church of Light, was born when the sun was here. Krishnamurti, head of the Order of the Star in the East, who refused to pose as an avatar, and author of At the Feet of the Master, was born when the moon was in this section of the sky. And Maria M. Benjamin, whose wifely sympathy and constant assistance contributed markedly to all the later work of C.C. Zane, and who worked vigorously and unselfishly to disseminate the religion of the stars, was born with this division of Sagittarius on the ascendant. It is the decanate of illumination. Capricorn LST. Cygnus the swan, speckless white, which with outspread pinions wings its way from the frozen north toward the sunny southern skies, pictures among the constellations the first decanate of Capricorn. It symbolizes the first news of a new order of things, a retreat from the crystallizing influence of materialism, and the harbinger of the approaching warmth of a spiritual spring. So we find those born under this influence, when living at their best, to be forerunners of better conditions. They, better than any others, realize the value of system and organization to effect any worthwhile changes. And in business or in politics, both of which are spheres of activity to which they naturally gravitate, their greatest asset is in conciliating different factions and inducing them to join in some large merger, which will operate more economically and efficiently than could any one faction alone. These people shoulder responsibility readily, and become the managers in the world. To live at their highest, they must be permitted to find expression for their talent of coordination. Woodrow Wilson, one-time president of the U.S., whose greatest effort was made toward effecting a League of Nations, was born with this individuality here. Bessie Leo, owner of Modern Astrology and publisher of many books on astrology, was born with her mentality in this decanate. And Cicero, the great orator and statesman, had this section of the zodiac rising at his birth. It is the decanate of organization. Capricorn second decanate. Delphinus the dolphin pictures among the constellations the second decanate of Capricorn. This is the Taurus decanate of Saturn sign, the strong emotional element conferred by the sub-influence of the moon's exaltation being indicated by the water in which the mammal lives. While the sun passes through this decanate we have Epiphany, and also the calm and civil year begins, bringing a new dispensation. And about the dolphin that represents this section of the zodiac there are many traditions implying it to be a savior of men. So we find that those born here possess extraordinary ability to make the most of whatever environment they find themselves in, even as the dolphin has adapted itself to the water. They utilize every condition to their purpose, and while encountering many setbacks they have the persistence to again come to the surface and carry on. They are indefatigable workers, and when they set their minds upon some worthy aim they scale the heights to success. And if they get a higher than material viewpoint they are capable of great self-sacrifice in the interest of universal progression. Sir Isaac Newton, the greatest mathematician the world has so far produced, who discovered a yardstick with which to measure the universe, and had the courage to announce his convictions, was born when the sun was here. Savonarola, who was burnt at the stake rather than forsake his religious convictions, was born when the moon was in this part of the sky. And Swami Vivekananda, who sacrificed his life in first bringing to America and establishing the Vedanta religion, was born when this section of the zodiac was on the ascendant. It is the decanate of martyrdom. Capricorn third decanate. The southern fish Pisces Australis is the constellation picturing the Mercury decanate of Capricorn. It is shown as eagerly drinking the water that flows from the urn of Aquarius. This symbolizes the conception that through the cultivation of the higher emotions it is possible to communicate volitionally with those who have passed to the spirit side of life. Also, that those on earth are, to an undreamed of extent, the recipients of love and wisdom poured down upon them by those who are of earth no more. People born under this decanate have natural ability to grasp the ideal and express it in concrete form. Their power of imagination is marked and is united to the faculty of intensive labor. They can follow clerical lines, but to develop their highest talents they should be permitted to develop and execute plans of their own. They readily contact the interior planes, and draw valuable information from that source, even when unconscious of the origin of their ideas. Joan of Arc, who under spirit guidance led France to victory, was born when the sun was in this decanate. George Eliot, who attained fame through the ideals expressed in her novels, was born with her mentality here. And Michelangelo, the greatest sculptor and artist of all time, was born with this portion of the zodiac on the ascendant. It is the decanate of idealism. Aquarius first decanate. A horse, which is an animal used to carry a person to a desired locality, has been used from ancient times as a symbol of mind. And to picture the Uranus decanate of Aquarius, the ancients placed the head of a horse Aquileus among the constellations. Those born under this section of the sky tend to follow their own ideas. They are keenly interested in education, and are exceptional in the fullness of their knowledge of human nature. In fact, aside from their inventive ability, their greatest asset in life is in knowing how to handle men. And it is a great mistake for them to live apart from close contact with numerous of their fellow humans. The tendencies are decidedly progressive, alert for the new and unique. Consequently, their true mission in life is in imparting their enthusiasm for advanced methods and ideas to others. Samuel Gumpers, leader of the American Federation of Labor, was born with this individuality here. James Coates, mesmerist and author of books on character reading, was born when the moon was in this decanate. And W.B. Yeats, poet, was born with his personality polarized to this portion of the zodiac. It is the decanate of originality. Aquarius second decanate. The flying horse Pegasus pictures among the constellations the Mercury decanate of Aquarius. The wings pictured upon the symbol of mind indicate the ability to leave the material body and travel in the superphysical world in the astral form. This may take place volitionally, or quite unconsciously so far as the objective mind is concerned, during sleep. And those who can bring through into the objective state the information so contacted have a never-ending supply of interesting material, that they often are able to present in a fascinating manner. People under this decanate possess naturally the ability to gain information from invisible sources. Consequently, they have unlimited resourcefulness in imaginative creation. And they are able to present their conceptions in the most dramatic manner. So, by all means, they should follow some occupation where the mind has power to exert itself. And when not inclined to literature, they should read much and learn to express their thoughts in conversation. They convey their ideas to others in a most convincing manner, and through this faculty lies their greatest good, both to themselves and to humanity. Charles Dickens, the famous novelist, was born with his individuality here. H. Rider Haggard, another famous novelist, had his moon in this decanate. And Robert Louis Stevenson, still another wonderful writer of romance, had this section of the zodiac on the ascendant at his birth. It is the decanate of inspiration. Aquarius 3-row decanate. The Libra decanate of Aquarius is pictured by Cetus, which mythology informs us is the largest constellation in the sky. This whale was the monster that devoured the innocent youths of the country, as a punishment for the haughty pride of their queen. In this manner is symbolized the tendency of those born under this influence to enter into matrimony from other motives than those of pure love, or from some material mode of renouncing love altogether, to be consumed by its energy inversely directed. These people reach their greatest efficiency and attainment only in harmonious association with a kindred soul of opposite sex. When they deny true love, or make it subservient to material ambitions, they are in great danger. But when they follow the dictates of the heart, and realize companionship in the higher sense, they become efficient workers for human betterment. A solitary life is not beneficial to these people. They should mix with others and take a keen interest in helping to make the world a better place in which to live. This is the work for which they are fitted. C. W. Leadbeater, the theosophical writer, was born when the sun was in this decanate. John Cooper, who did a work of great value toward human enlightenment, in translating the Prima Mobile of Placidus, was born with the moon here. And Havelock Ellis, author of Sexual Inversion and other works dealing with sex, was born with this part of the zodiac on the ascendant. It is the decanate of repression. Pisces-1st decanate. The Neptune decanate of Pisces is pictured among the constellations by Cepheus the king, whose foot rests upon the immovable pole star. He holds aloft a scepter cut from the tree of life, and his crown is surmounted by seven globes representing the seven planets and the septenary law in nature. People born under this section of the sky are naturally interested in understanding nature, particularly in its psychic and spiritual aspects. They are mystics, to the manner born, and seek truth not so much through the methods of exact science and reason, as through the exercise of their psychic faculties. They readily become seers, and have a natural aptitude for grasping the esoteric interpretation of all phenomena. This ability to recognize the truth through the inner response becomes of value in the world of affairs in connection with secret service work of all kinds. They are detectives of the highest order, whether their talents be directed to social conditions or to the wider mysteries of universal relations. Ramakrishna, the famous yogi, whose influence over the Vedanta philosophy was so great and beneficial, was born when the sun was here. Dr. Richard Hodgson, whose physical research has led him to investigate the phenomena connected with H.P. Blavatsky, was born when the moon was in this decanate. And William Lilly, best of the older authorities on Hoary astrology, had this portion of the zodiac on the ascendant at his birth. It is the decanate of Verity, Pisces' second decanate. The second decanate of Pisces is pictured among the constellations by Andromeda, the princess chained to the rock for the sea monster to devour. It symbolizes the earthbound condition of the human soul that passes to the spirit side of life, obsessed with the desire for material reincarnation. It also represents those noblest of all mankind who suffer persecution and imprisonment, that the rest of humanity may prosper. The lives of persons born under this section of the sky are usually filled with restrictions and limitations. Often these conditions are assumed voluntarily as the price enacted by the world for the sake of assisting in its progress. When living at their best, they are readily impressed by those on the spirit side of life, and are often chosen to carry out some important mission on earth. They grasp more readily than others the true meaning of universal brotherhood, and they get the most out of life through alleviating the physical and mental suffering of their fellow men. Nicholas Copernicus, who was largely responsible for the adoption of the present system of astronomy, and suffered for his apparent heresy, was born with the sun here. Charubel, author of Degrees of the Zodiac, symbolized a seer and worker in behalf of the esoteric wisdom, had his mentality in this decanate. And T.H. Bergwin, author of Light of Egypt, an adept in the highest sense of the word, who suffered persecution for his views, was born with this part of the zodiac on the ascendant. It is the decanate of self-sacrifice, Pisces' third decanate. The last decanate of Pisces is pictured among the constellations by Cassiopeia, the queen on her throne. It is the sixth decanate of the sign of imprisonment, and mythology attributes the imprisonment of her daughter to the pride of this queen in her beauty. However, in another story, she is the queen who furnished her children with the ram that bore the golden fleece and carried them to heaven. Therefore, we find those born under this influence to have eventful lives, and to be capable of entering upon and succeeding in a wide variety of careers. It is the last section of the zodiac, and they seem often to recapitulate in their lives the events and conditions we expect from many other decanates. They are unusually adaptable, are likable people, and require excitement and change. They reach their highest value in psychical research, and in adopting and advocating such a life, as will prepare man for existence after the change called death. Sir Richard Burton, the famous traveler, who was so expert at disguise and as a linguist, that he passed as a native in many lands, was born when the sun was here. Evelyn Nesbit Thaw, actress over whom her husband shot Stanford White, and whose life has been filled with drama and pathos, was born with her mentality in this decanate. An Empress Frederick of Germany, mother of Kaiser Wilhelm of World War notoriety, was born with this section of the zodiac on the ascendant. It is the decanate of vicissitudes. Note with a few exceptions, so that the students may have easy access to the charts cited, and thus study the other factors contributing to character and accomplishment, I have used as examples persons whose charts may be found in the Book of Notable Nativities.